Hey y'all, welcome back to Honky Tonk Tales, where the neon lights flicker, the jukebox is always loaded, and the stories are as strong as the whiskey behind the bar. I'm your host, Jimmy, and today we're shining a spotlight on a man who took Nashville tradition, drove it straight through Los Angeles traffic, and somehow made it cooler than both places combined. We're talking about the Kentucky-born, California-polished, rhinestone-wearing, hip-shaking, hat-tilting country original, Mr. Dwight Yoakam. So pour something brown in a glass, kick back, and let's dive into the story of the man who refused to go pop in the poppiest decade country music had ever seen. Welcome to Honky Tonk Tales. Dwight David Yoakam was born October 23, 1956 in Pikeville, Kentucky. That's coal country. His father worked in the gas industry. His mother loved music. And like many Appalachian families chasing opportunity, they eventually moved north to Columbus, Ohio. Now, Ohio might not scream honky-tonk capital of the world, but it did give Dwight access to radio. And on that radio, classic country royalty, Buck Owens, Merle Haggard, Lefty Frizzell, Hank Williams. Dwight didn't just like country music. He liked that twangy, sharp, Bakersfield-style country, the kind with Telecasters that snap like mousetrap. By high school, he was already playing in bands. He briefly attended Ohio State University, studying philosophy, no less, which is fitting, because later in life, he philosophically decided Nashville could kiss his rhinestone backside. By the late 1970s, Dwight moved to Nashville, and Nashville said, no. You see, this was the urban cowboy era. Country music was getting slick, polished, smooth. Dwight, he showed up looking like he stepped out of 1965. Tight jeans, a big hat, and a buckle you could see from space. He wasn't interested in soft rock with a fiddle. He wanted honky-tonk revival. Record labels told him, you're too country. Now imagine that. A country artist being told he was too country. That's like telling a brisket, you're too smoky. So Dwight packed up and did something bold. He moved to Los Angeles. Yeah, that's right. Los Angeles, the land of punk rock, new wave, and hairspray. And that, friends, is where the magic happened. In early 1980s LA, Dwight found something Nashville didn't expect. Punk audiences loved him. The same kids that were going to see bands like X and Circle Jerk loved Dwight's music. Why? Because authenticity sells. And Dwight was authentic. He teamed up with guitarist Pete Anderson, and that partnership became legendary. And in 1986, he released his debut album, Guitars, Cadillacs, etc., etc. And country music perked up.
Girl, you taught me how to hurt real bad and cry myself to sleep.
Now, the cover of Streets of Bakersfield by Buck Owens on this album gave Buck Owens his first number one in years. And that's not just a hit. That's a revival. Dwight wasn't reinventing country. He was reminding country of who it used to be. Late 80s and into the early 90s, Dwight was on fire. Albums like Hillbilly Deluxe, Buenos Noches from a Lonely Room, If There Was a Way, and This Time, stacked up platinum plaques like bar tabs. Hits like Honky Tonk Man, A Thousand Miles from Nowhere, Fast as You Can, Suspicious Minds, and Little Sister.
Little sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you kiss me once or twice?
And Dwight sings with that high, lonesome ache, like heartbreak with perfect air. He also wrote a lot of his own material, not always common in mainstream country at the time. And visually, he didn't just stand there. That hip shake became legendary, somewhere between Elvis and a man trying to shake loose a wallet chain. Then came acting. Dwight popped up in films like Sling Blade, and let's just say he nailed it. His role as Doyle Hargraves was so convincing, you almost forgot he was a chart-topping country star. He later appeared in The Panic Room, Crank, and Wedding Crashers. Hollywood discovered something country fans already knew. Dwight Yoakam commits, whether it's a lyric or a character. Now here's what makes Dwight a little different. He never chased trends. When bro country hit, he didn't pivot. When pop country exploded, he didn't add drum loops. He stuck to sharp suits, steel guitars, and heartbreak songs. He sold over 25 million records worldwide, multiple Grammys, and an induction into the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame. But more importantly, he earned respect from traditionalists, from rock fans, and from critics. That's rare air right there. He once refused to tone down his stage wardrobe, saying that the tight jeans were part of his image. And he's obsessed with vintage country vinyl and obscure honky-tonk records. His duet with Buck Owens didn't just chart. It reignited Owens' career. He once joked that Nashville didn't reject him. It just misunderstood him for about 10 years. That's the kind of confidence we respect. Now, Dwight Yoakam is proof that country music doesn't have to evolve by abandoning its roots. Sometimes evolution means doubling down. He bridged Bakersfield and Nashville, punk clubs and honky-tonks, acting and chart-topping records. And he did it wearing boots sharp enough to cut glass. All right, so there you have it. The story of Dwight Yoakam, Kentucky kid who took honky-tonk to Hollywood, a rebel in rhinestones, a traditionalist in a changing industry, and a reminder that sometimes the best way forward is straight back to the roots. Thanks for listening to Honky Tonk Tales. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with someone who still owns a Telecaster and a heartbreak story. And until next time, keep your boots polished, your jukebox loud, and your country authentic. And we'll see y'all down the neon road. Honky Tonk Tales is a Texas Radio 1 production. Theme music for the show by Pine Groove Music. Be sure to visit TexasRadio1.com and tell a friend. Now that's all kinds of country right there.